Third hour of the show starts now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is the Rob Brown Show. It is the Fan Upstate. Yes, boy. Friday it is. Not just any Friday. It might be the most wonderful Friday of the year.
See, I think that's next week, but, you know.
Was it next week? Because we got a full weekend of football?
Because we got pro football and college football.
You know what? That's not unfair. That's not unfair. And it's a halfway decent week two slate of college football, too. Tomorrow's slate spectacular. I'm really excited about tomorrow.
Is it spectacular?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I mean, is it more like last night was?
No, it's a pretty good weekend. Just because your team has elected to open up with a cupcake doesn't mean that everybody's has.
Well, a lot of them did last night, but Georgia Clemson should be good. I mean, are there any other ones of that caliber though?
Yeah, I would say so. Penn State West Virginia is going to be a slapper, dude. A slapper. That's a one score spread in Vegas. It has gone a little bit back more towards Penn State, though. It was at 8, then it moved to 7.5, and then there was a huge jump. It's jumped all the way back up to 8.5 now in favor of Penn State.
No, you make fun of that Ohio State game, but they're in much of the same situation as South Carolina and some other teams are. There's a bunch of brand new players, including a new quarterback. And just because that quarterback played well somewhere else doesn't mean he's going to here. Yeah, so we're going to learn a lot of things about that offense, and we haven't seen the Chip Kelly offense
for Ohio State. Do you notice how, ladies and gentlemen, with everybody else's game, it's boring, stinky, crappy football, but for Ohio State, it's going to be real interesting and important to watch to learn a lot about the Buckeyes.
By the way, I was just piggybacking on what you were saying about South Carolina.
Yeah.
And there are other teams like that.
Yeah.
Now, all the teams
That's why the last 2 weeks of football have been great, because it's a learning week.
All the teams last night had quarterbacks that have been there 7 years and, you know, and had steadfast coaching staff, so there's nothing interesting last night.
This weekend and last weekend of college football, Learning Tree weekend. All right.
Hi guys. Hey, did you?
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot to move it over.
Oh, you did not. Wow.
Forgot to move it over.
I think you stole it because I was going to take it, and it's more fitting for me. But you know, there we go. There it is.
I forgot about that. Glad you reminded me of that.
I don't know if everybody else is going to be glad that I reminded you, but yeah.
I mean, you just have to get used to it. It's and for football. All right. Learning Tree weekend. I agree with you. I am quite intrigued to see what the Kansas State transfer does after you guys ran last year's QB up out of town and down to Syracuse in Cobb.
Hey, man, you got
to
beat Michigan. If you can't handle the pressure, go somewhere else.
We're going to find out. But that, to me, that is why I have spent the last 2.5 weeks trying to tell you, you should feel the way you feel about your team, about a lot of teams. And that included both Minnesota and North Carolina last night. But the reality here is...
You know, I felt that way about a team last week, and I was all hyped about Florida State, and they let me down.
I mean, gosh, if only there was a dude telling you the entire 2 weeks leading up to that game that game's not going to be the blowout you think it is. It's just not. Robbie B won a good bit of cash by going Georgia Tech plus 13.5 because I told you, this is going to be a fight. And, well, tune in when it's not 21-0. It's never 21-0.
It's so unfair how you come at me about my team and I can't retaliate.
I see what you're doing there.
Something I've been doing for weeks, and you just haven't caught it. But
no,
I've caught it.
I've just ignored it because the show needs entertainment. All right, we do have some other good games that are coming up this weekend. We do have a couple. We got a handful of games this evening. Tonight's slate, not anything that's going to blow you away. I will say there is one team I do have to watch tonight. That's the Oklahoma Boomasooners. They play tonight at 7 o'clock hosting Temple, a team that, yes, they are dramatically better than. They are 42-point favorites in this game. But this game is, and this is kind of the point that I make with a lot of these games, this game is not about watching to see if Oklahoma's going to cover the 42, although I will be doing that. This game is about watching to see what the hell the Boomer Sooners are in Brent Venable's second year. I expect that defensively, the Boomer Sooners are going to be flying around the football field.
I thought he'd been there longer than 2 years.
Was his third year? I don't know.
Yeah, I think he's been there a while. Yeah.
Either way, Brent Venables and the Oklahoma Boomasoonas. I'm very intrigued to see what this team is going to be this year, and I think we are going to learn a lot about and find a lot about an Oklahoma team that is picked to finish the Southeastern Conference season by the media in eighth place in this conference.
This is his third season.
Okay, third. Yep. So, I don't know. I am interested. Remember, they lost their guy that was supposed to be the guy at quarterback this year. They'll be rolling out Jackson Arnold, a sophomore, for his first year at QB1. They have one returning wide receiver in the entire room, Jahlil Farouk.
You can say I'm not saying it.
Damn! Oh, wait. I don't need to say it. I'll let Farouk say it. Had that right there. All right. So, like, tonight,
you just slow interesting on, night. Slow on the car wall today.
Yeah, I don't.
It's because of all that exciting football last night. It's just left you a little tired. That's what it is.
I stayed up way late last night. I finished North Carolina, Minnesota, and I fell asleep to San Diego State. And I got to tell you, I was fighting for my life to stay up for San Diego State.
Why? It's San Diego State, dude. I mean, come on.
Because it's football, bud. Because it's football. It's like if you hand a rice cake to a starving guy. Does it suck? Yeah. Am I going to consume it? Also, yeah.
I'm kind of a fan of rice cakes.
I mean, you got to flavor them up.
Yeah, flavored rice cakes.
People trying to pass off generic rice cakes as a good treat are bad people.
The Quaker ones are fairly cheap. They're low in calorie, and they taste pretty good, and they even have a chocolate flavor.
See, I tell you what I mean. Have you tried Yasso bars yet?
No, that sounds healthy.
They are Greek yogurt ice cream bars, but they make one dipped in chocolate, 75 calories a bar, and they're freaking delightful. And I'm a big ice cream guy.
Do they have a wooden thing?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, oh, that's right. You can't have one because of the weirdest aversion of anyone I know.
No, there's a thing. You looked it up. It's a thing. So, I mean, it's not like I'm the only one. Yeah, so I will
Lonzo
pass on
eat
that.
Popsicles and ice cream bars because of the texture of the stick.
I'm just right now, on your tongue.
It's the weirdest aversion to a thing of anyone that I know.
I just got the heebies and the jeebies.
I genuinely don't understand it. I mean, I get that you have it. I'm not going to try to be a good friend and push you through it so that you can experience the love that is popsicles.
Dude,
but you're missing out.
It wasn't something that I got right away. I ate a lot of Bomb Pops as a kid, and it just started working on me.
It's so weird, dude. Respectfully, it's so weird.
It's not respectful.
It's so weird.
I know it's weird. Whatever.
As long as you're aware of it.
I'm sure you have some weirdness somewhere.
You've listened to this show. There's lots of it. That's just the real.
That was sarcastic. I know of weirdness. I'm just not going to talk about it.
So, Oklahoma tonight. Now, tomorrow, a couple of games I like. You know what? We're getting dangerously close to time to do the Rob Brown Show quad box and tell you about the four games and each window that I need you paying attention to. Obviously, you know that the noon one is going to include Clemson and Georgia at noon. Penn State and West Virginia is up there for me as well. That's an 8-point spread right now with an over-under of 51.5 in the total. My question here is, can Penn State finally make the Big Ten a three-horse race, or will we know by the end of this game that the Big Ten is Ohio State and Oregon? That's it.
So you don't consider it a possibility of being a four-team race?
No. The most horses in the race will be three with Penn State.
So Michigan is they're just completely done.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, I hope you're right. I mean, I'm all for them being completely done. I'm not so sure I believe that, though.
I will be pleasantly, because I would listen, if for nothing else than the darn drama, I will be pleasantly surprised if Michigan is involved in this race in any way, shape, or form. But just losing Blake Corum takes you out of that mix. Because that's the dude. Last year, everything Michigan accomplished last year, they accomplished on the legs of Blake Corum. Everything they accomplished last year was on the legs of Blake Corum.
So no, nothing that Connor Stallions did helped them.
Well, and that. And that. Did you watch that documentary yet?
No, I still haven't. I haven't had time. There was football on last night.
I know, me too. Me too. I watched so much
and
football last night.
There's wrestling on every night, and then, you know, there's video games, and there's other stuff to do.
Are you not going to watch it?
Eventually, I plan to.
You're
saying that to me. You haven't seen it.
Oh, it's getting watched this weekend.
Okay,
It's getting watched on
Sunday.
How
many times have we heard that from you?
It's getting watched on Sunday.
It better be this Sunday.
It is this Sunday, because after we had the
we also have Monday. You can watch it Monday, unless you're found another job for Monday. By the way, we're not on Monday.
No, we're not on Monday. I will not be, because I don't think I'm supposed to say this.
Well, then don't.
I'm going to anyway. The fiance turns 40 on Monday.
You've already said that.
Oh, have I?
Yes, you have.
No, I've said she's turning 40. I don't think I've pointed out that it is this Monday.
You did point out that it was coming up this weekend, and if you count Monday as the weekend, which a lot of people do since it's a three-day weekend for other people.
Monday. Gonna get down on Monday. Which, by the way, may I take 30 seconds to just wish the most important person in my life a happy birthday?
You could take an hour if you want.
No, I promise you I can't do that. But, Courtney, happy 40th birthday in advance, since I won't be here on Monday to tell you on your birthday. I love you. You're the best thing in the world. I cannot wait for 23 days from now when I lock in and you can't go anywhere. Can't wait. Happy birthday. I love you. The most important thing that's ever happened to me, and you're older than me.
Happy birthday, Courtney. Whatever.
You're not older than Lonzo, though. So.
No.
You got that.
There are people who are older than me in the building, actually. So I'm not like the old guy in the. I am on this station.
I was going to say.
On this station, I am. I'm not on the other station that I work on.
No, you're not on the other station you work on. Not even. Well, no, not even close.
There are people who got decades on me, or a decade.
Not in the building, though.
Well, a decade. Well, I'm not going to say who.
Oh, I know who.
Yeah, I mean, just about. I'm like right in the middle still, I think. News department alone has two that are older than me.
I got one.
Yeah, one's here now, and the other one's in the afternoon.
Oh, there are more people in the afternoon.
Yes.
I forget that I'm not here in the afternoon.
Yes.
Happy birthday, Courtney. You're older than me, but I love you. All right, let's get to...
Should you really have said that last part? I mean...
I say it all the time.
You got to be a little more careful.
She totally robbed the cradle.
Yeah, my wife's older than me, too.
There it is. All right. So, I'll tell you another game in that noon slot I'm kind of intrigued by. Illinois State at Iowa. The Iowa Hawkeyes are interesting. Why? Iowa's going to have one of the best defenses in the country this year, and for a team that has been the butt of many a running joke about their inability to score points, remember, they got
You're
rid of
You're just trying
their
to score points with someone downstairs.
No, I'm not.
Talking about how stellar Iowa is going to be.
Yes, because you heard how often I don't poop on all their other football teams, like the Dallas Cowboys and the Green Bay Packers. Yeah, I kiss butt. Not only do I not kiss butt, how many times have you tried to actively stop me from saying things about their football teams? I got no reason to suck up.
Well,
that's
just about making myself look better. I mean, that's all I care about.
Point is, I say him. They bailed on Baby Ferentz, on Kirk Jr. this year as offensive coordinator, which a lot of us, and I say us because I'm one of them, genuinely believe that Kirk Ferentz, the HC at Iowa, committed freaking malpractice by allowing his son to horribly run and mismanage the Iowa Hawkeye offense the last couple of years.
Absolutely. I mean, you're down on the Nepo today. You hate the Nepo babies.
No, I don't hate the Nepo babies. I hate when the Nepo babies get away with crap that nobody else would.
Sounds like hate to me.
No, it's just rationalization of reality, which I think is important, and a lot of people don't do in the world of sports.
Everyone's reality is different.
Hey, Lonzo, how's the Iowa Hawkeye offense been the last couple of years?
Well, they're in the Big Ten.
Non-existent.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know.
Ass even for that conference.
Really?
A conference that is not predicated on offenses.
That's a myth.
No, it's a myth.
Wide receiver, you.
For your school.
Did Michigan not play offense last year?
No, they ran the ball.
That's still offense. Last I checked.
Did Michigan win last year because of their offense? No.
I think it helps.
No, they won last year because of their defense.
I think they were more of a complete team, and that's the reason why they won last year.
I think they were a great defense with an excellent rushing attack.
And they stole signs.
But the point here is, Kirk Ferentz allowed his son to embarrass that school for like three too many years as the offensive coordinator.
I can name other sons that have done really well, like Shanahan.
I'm not talking about them. Okay. I'm talking about this one son who sucked at the job but was allowed to keep it for a very long time. And the school finally said, Kirk, either your boy goes or both of yous go. It's your pick. And so finally, the Iowa Hawkeyes did right by their fans and made Kirk fire his kid who was very bad at his job. I'm not saying all sons that are coaches are bad sons that are coaches. I'm saying this one was, and they finally moved on. So do we see a different Iowa Hawkeye offense this year? This is a team that could not average 25 points a game last year with a joke of a schedule. Can they get to 30 this year without him? I don't know. We'll find out. What I can tell you is, speaking of the Michigan Wolverines, they went and got Cade McNamara to play quarterback. Kirk Ferentz isn't going to be coaching this game tomorrow, by the way, though, because he caught that one-game suspension for illegally contacting Cade McNamara to get him there, but he got him there. So what does Iowa look like in this game? They are hosting in Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City, Iowa. I don't know. I don't know what they look like. That game's very interesting to me. Virginia Tech at Vanderbilt is an interesting game. I'm not saying you're looking at a pair of teams that are going to be scrapping for a natty. What I'm saying is these are, or at least one of these two teams, because I mean, Vanderbilt's just kind of Vanderbilt, respectfully to the doors. But Virginia Tech, remember, is bringing back like 18 starters this year. This Tech team is a... And let's emphasize, dark horse ACC threat. Dark horse ACC threat. They got to go on the road to Nashville, Tennessee.
They're leading the ACC right now. How are you a dark horse?
Congratulations to Florida State for being the first team to hold sole possession of last place.
They do.
In the ACC.
They do right now, right?
It may never happen again. Yeah, they do. Unless they lose this weekend to Boston College or Monday to Boston College, in which case they will be the first team to hold sole possession of last place in a 16-team conference for 2 weeks with two losses. We'll find out. I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's look at the rest of the schedule when we come back. Since we're here, since we've arrived, let's do the quad box. When we come back, we'll take a look at the four most important games in the noon. I used to say morning because it used to be morning football for me. In the noon. 3:30 and nighttime windows, and we'll do that next on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It is the Fan Upstate. Let's start running through our games this weekend. The Quad Box is back, baby. The best thing to ever happen to sports television. The Quad Box is real.
I can't remember. Did we have a Quad Box intro? For some reason, it makes me, I thought we did, but
I was thinking we did, but I honestly cannot remember. I thought we did, but I can't remember if we did or if we just played like a clip. We'll dig. We'll see if Zoe can dig something up. But I do want to start running through these. That's not it. I know for a fact that wasn't it. Let's jump into the quad box here. Let's start with our noon window. These are the early games. These are the games that we'll tune up, we'll warm up with, and they are a handful of slappers and one that's not, but is compelling to me for a reason. We're going to start exactly and precisely zero shock with this one. Clemson and Georgia. Atlanta, Georgia is the site of this one on ABC. The game kicks off at noon. Is Clemson capable of returning to prominence, or were the Georgia Bulldogs prove why they were nearly the consensus number one overall? We will find out. Clemson and Georgia at noon, a game that I think is must-watch TV. Must-see TV. Penn State is at West Virginia at noon. That game on Fox. This one genuinely might be the best game in the first window. I know Georgia-Clemson is the most highlight game in that first window, but Penn State-West Virginia is a slap fight.
You're saying Penn State-West Virginia will be a game and Georgia-Clemson will not.
I'm saying there's a good chance Georgia-Clemson's not a game. All right. Even without the running backs, even with all the optimism, I'm saying this. There is a path for Clemson to win this game.
There was that kind of hype around Florida State. Yeah, I know. Not from you. I get it. Not from you. But there was that kind of hype around Florida State. At least with Georgia, they've been consistent the last couple of years. So I can see why.
Bingo.
Yeah. But if Clemson were to win that game, would you be surprised? Would you be really surprised?
Yes. Yes.
See, I don't think I would.
There is a path to victory for the Clemson Tigers. It is not a wide one. All right? It is a razor's edge, must be perfect path to victory. It is not a big old wide interstate you're walking down the middle of. It is a balance beam that you have got to get from one end to the other. 60 minutes, no mistakes. That's what it is.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't want Clemson to win, but it wouldn't shock me. They've been too good for too long to not have a bounce back year. If they don't have it this year, then it's done. It's over with.
There is a better chance that Georgia wins this by two scores than Georgia wins it by a field goal.
And then there's this thing that if Clemson were to beat Georgia, then Ohio State would be number one.
There's also that.
I mean, there are a lot of factors for me.
Penn State, West Virginia, I think, is a last possession game. Neil Brown at West Virginia has his back against the wall, but he's also got a ton of returning talent this year. Penn State, James Franklin. I got to tell you, for all the conversation we've had about Ryan Day, I don't think Ryan Day is the most under fire head coach in the Big Ten. I think James Franklin's got to be, right? Like, you've been too good for too long to keep coming up with three loss seasons losing big games. If losing big games is the narrative for Penn State, and it is, and it has been, is one of them.
I've heard that from you and from a couple other people, but I haven't heard that from Penn State people.
Sucks to be them.
I mean, maybe they're realistic and go, yeah, we're doing really good, but then there's also these teams that are above us that we can't seem to beat.
This is watching Penn State fans talk about Penn State. It's like looking at the, I'm trying to come up with the metaphor here, but not be a terrible person in the process. Y'all know that person.
Be as bad as you can be.
You know that individual that we've all had in our lives that think they are the most attractive hot in the game? And you're like, sweetie,
let's,
no.
Let's call him Mark.
Bless your heart, sweetie. You're absolutely not the hot that you think you are, but they don't lack for confidence, right? You know that person I'm talking about. You go, golly, I wish I had your confidence, because it's completely unjustified.
Yeah, and it doesn't make sense, but that confidence a lot of times gets them things in places where they never should be.
That's Penn State. They've got to win this game. They are a touchdown and a point favorites over West Virginia. But I'm telling you, West Virginia's coming out swinging and OBT dubs.
Are you picking? I mean, are you picking any games? Or are we picking any games?
I mean, we can pick them.
No, I'm just...
Give me Georgia in the first one.
Okay, yeah, same here. But I'm curious about this game because you say it's going to be the
Penn State, West Virginia, put the Nittany Lions on upstate alert. Morgantown, West Virginia is going to be covered in smoke from couches. Give me the upset win. The Mountaineers at home burn some couches into the evening.
Okay, I don't know.
After they knock off Penn State.
You're going to have to explain the burnt couches thing.
They burn couches. That's literally it.
Why do they burn couches?
I don't know. That's just their thing.
Couches are expensive, man. Why are you burning them?
Head down to the local Goodwill, pick up one, throw it in the back of the flatbread, bring it to Morgantown, West Virginia, and light it on fire.
I just want you to know you said flatbread.
Yeah, no, I was trying to pass it up.
I know.
You just refused to let me not make a...
That makes me want pizza for lunch.
I do want pizza for lunch. Penn State, West Virginia. You asked to pick. What's your pick?
I said Penn State.
Oh, okay. Illinois State's at Iowa on the Big Ten Network. This game also at noon as we wrap up quad box number one. Give me the Hawkeyes. I think that offense under Cade McNamara is going to be better this year because I honestly think Baby Ferentz was the reason that they've been struggling the last couple of years. It's just been embarrassing play calling. I think they fix that. Give me Iowa Hawkeyes over Illinois State. And since this game is a 27.5 point spread, let's pick against the spread. Give me Iowa to cover.
All right. Iowa all the way. What an amazing team.
Yeah, okay. And then we'll wrap it up. Not one we need to spend a lot of time on. Chattanooga is at Tennessee. I only care about this because does he live up to the Josh Heupel bull? Is Josh Heupel the guy or not? I believe in the Heupel bull. I think Tennessee is going to be scary this year. I think Tennessee is an SEC championship threat from the outside looking in. I don't think they're a bad bet to sprinkle a little on. This game will be a do they come out firing? I think yes. So there's your quad box for the noon games. Clemson at Georgia, Penn State at West Virginia, Illinois State at Iowa, Chattanooga at Tennessee. When we come back, let's do the quad box for the afternoon and the night. We'll wrap those when we come back on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Rolling through the quad box, the four top games in all three slots, morning, noon, and night. It's actually noon, mid-afternoon, and night, but you get the point. We started off with your morning slate, your noon slate, Clemson at Georgia on ABC at noon, Penn State at West Virginia on Fox at noon, Illinois State is at Iowa on the Big Ten Net at noon, and finally, Chattanooga at Tennessee. I will tell you that there are going to be times where it's going to be this way with the night slot, too. Sometimes there aren't four good competitive games. Sometimes they're narrative games. Sometimes they're more, you got to watch this to find out if blank. And I think that Chattanooga-Tennessee game is one of them. Are the Volunteers for real? Nico Amoliva is the quarterback for this team this year, and there's folks that are picking him to make a Heisman. Or Ryan Horvath has him picked as a Heisman finalist this year. Is Josh Heupel really that guy? Has this team really improved that much that quickly? If the answer is yes, I think we will find out very rapidly in this game. So we're gonna talk a little bit about that as we roll on through the noon slot. Let's get to our mid-afternoon games. These are the games taking place anywhere from 2:30 to around 5 p.m. Here's how I have this one stacked up. Great one. A trio of them kicking off at 3:30. Your team on the list. Akron at Ohio State. That game at 3:30 on CBS. This is one of those narrative games. This is one of those games that I think we pay attention to because, and I think it is fair to ask the question, great one, is Ohio State them this year? Is Ohio State that team this year with Will Howard at quarterback? We already know your running back field is going to be stupid talented, but do you have the ability to throw the ball at wide receiver you when the running back field is that stacked, or will you emulate what Michigan did last year and go, hey, our strength's in the backfield, we're going to play to that? I think we'll get a little bit of a read when the zips come a call into the shoe.
As someone who's wearing a vintage Ohio State jersey right now, well-worn, lucky jersey.
Very well-worn.
Yeah, I don't care. We're closed to the public, and no one's going to see me wearing this, so we're good. I don't know. I don't. I hear all the hype, but I haven't seen the product on the field, and until I do, I just don't know.
That's why they're on the quad box, ladies and gentlemen. Let's keep going with the 3:30 games here. Colorado State at Texas. Are the Rams going to be competitive with the Longhorns? They better not be for Steve Sarkisian's sake, but I do think we're going to get a read on a team that a lot of folks have picked as a champion in the Southeastern Conference. Colorado State heading to go take on the Horns. Quinn Ewers is going to make his debut for the 2024 season. And again,
he's on the Dr. Pepper commercial now. I don't know if that's a good look or bad look.
With the Boz. With the Boz. I enjoyed it. I thought it was funsies. Quinn Ewers going to get his debut in 2024. Are the Longhorns for real this year? Right? Like, I got to tell you, I think there's a little bit of overselling Texas this year. I think they're going to be a good team. Do I think that they are going to be a best team? No, I'm not quite there yet. This one will tell us a lot. 3:30. This one might be the game of the mid-afternoon. That is the U University of Miami down at the University of Florida. This one at Ben Hill Griffin Stadium. This game is at 3:30 on ABC, and this is another game that there's a narrative that's got to be overcome here, and that is Mario Cristobal and his Miami Hurricanes. I have told you, like, a lot of times so far, I don't trust Mario Cristobal as far as I can throw him. And this is true. I don't think I can throw him very far at all. All right? That's a very unique set of muscles I haven't worked out lately. I don't think I can chunk him all that far. But that is the game that has to be played here with Miami and Florida. On the flip side, it has been said time and time again, dudes and dudettes, Billy Napier's back is against the wall at the University of Florida this year. Winning this game will buy him a little room to breathe. Winning this game, a rivalry game out of the gate, will give him an opportunity to maybe earn a little bit of goodwill back from the Florida fans, yeah? Maybe earn a little bit of goodwill back from the folks that are trying to run him up out of Dodge. And I think that that is something we got to pay attention to. Miami, at University of Florida, and then one we've already addressed at length. Won't spend a ton of time on it, but at 4:15, live from Willie B., the Old Dominion Monarchs on the road at the South Carolina Gamecocks. Again, South Carolina's been remarkably quiet this offseason. We have not heard nor seen a lot. We've got very little out of practice to keep an eye on. I think the Gamecocks are doing one of two things. I think the Gamecocks are doing one thing. I think they've been hiding themselves this offseason. Question is, what are they hiding? Are they hiding that they have taken a giant step forward and Lenore Sellers and Nick Harbor are about to light the world on fire? Or have they been hiding that they did not take a step forward and it's going to be another long, disappointing season for the Gamecocks of South Carolina? I think we'll get our first look at 4:15 on the SEC Network. So, there's your afternoon quad. Let's get to the nighttime showdowns, shall we, ladies and gentlemen? Let us begin at 7 p.m. when Western Kentucky, the Hilltoppers, travel to Tuscaloosa, Alabama to take on the Crimson Tide of Alabama. It makes me sad. No more Eli Gold calling games for the Tide, one of my favorites of all time. There is a new man in the box. There's also a new man down on the sideline. His name is Kalen DeBoer. He comes over from the University of Washington, where he spent one season. In one season, he sent a young man at quarterback to the Heisman Trophy finalist party, and he sent his team to the college football national championship game. Of course, they got the brakes beat off him by the University of Michigan, but they got in the dance when so many others did not. I believe in Kalen DeBoer as a good coach. I believe Kalen DeBoer might have been the only guy that I trust to take over for the guy that ain't the guy no more in Nick Saban. What is Bama? How good are they going to be? We'll get a little taste of that at 7 o'clock on ESPN when Western Kentucky is at Alabama. Then we got a trio of 7:30 games. Let's start in the big house. The University of Michigan makes their first Jim Harbaughless impression. Michigan State hosting Fresno State at 7:30. That game on NBC. I don't know what you think the spread on this game would be. It wasn't as high as I thought. 21 points is the spread between the Bulldogs of Fresno State and the Michigan Wolverines. What the hell are Sharon Moore's Big Blue Wolverines? I don't know. You don't know. We don't know. We're going to find out a little bit about them. 7:30 on NBC this Saturday when the Wolverines take on the Bulldogs. Also at 7:30. This one, another one that is a narrative game. It is a game about learning, not about competition. The Oregon Ducks at 7:30 at the house, number 3 team in the country. They will be hosting the Idaho Vandals. Yeah, they're a big-time favorite. 42-plus points is the difference in this one. I don't care. This is not about whether or not Oregon wins the game. Of course, they're going to. It's not even about whether or not they cover the spread. They're going to. I just want to see Dylan Gabriel. I want to see the passing offense. I want to see what Dan Lanning puts on the table for this squad this year. Are they a Big Ten contender in their inaugural season in the conference. We'll learn a little bit about that. Are they a national championship contender out of the Big Ten? We'll learn a little bit about it. To me, this is just trying to see if the Oregon Ducks carry the momentum from 2023 into 2024. That game is at 7:30, and then we have our final game of the day in the Quad Box at 7:30. Who else could it be? Notre Dame is at Texas A&M. Marcus Freeman taking his squad for another ride, and they start by going down to the compound to take on the Colt, a football team that's a big Kool-Aid jug away from being the most famous Colt in American history, the Texas A&M Aggies, the World War II cosplaying farmer dorks that they are. They will host the Irish, or the Irish for real, this year. Or will the Ags prove that, no. Seriously, we're good this time, guys, because they've been, you know, they've been good the last couple of years until they ain't, but they finally get rid of Jimbo Fisher. They're paying him $70-plus million a year to go to Cancun or whatever. Mike Elko, the former Duke Blue Devil head coach, comes down and gets his debut with the Ags at 7:30 on ABC. The Irish at the Aggies. Let's run through these. Lonzo,
a deer? A
doe.
Female deer?
Ray, drop a golden sun. Lonzo, do your Ohio State Buckeyes cover up the 48.5 points they are favored by over Akron?
Yes.
Yeah, I got no idea. Not touching that game. University of Miami taking on Florida. Listen, I hate this game because I don't believe in Miami at all, and I also don't believe at Florida at all. I don't believe in either one of these teams. Miami favored by 2.5. Let's pick this one straight up, Lonzo. The Canes or the Gators?
I'm going to go with Florida because at SEC, it just means more.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Miami in this one. I do think that they are better than they were last year. I still think there's a stupid game coming somewhere where Mario Cristobal screws the pooch. I don't think it's game one, although I will say this. Florida is going to be rocking with a capital R because the Gators believe this year. Let's go with South Carolina over Old Dominion. Lonzo, the Gamecocks favored by 21 on the dot. Are the Gamecocks covering up 21 over ODU? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
21's a big number there.
I'm optimistic. Let's go with yes.
I'm going to say yes, too. I'm going to say they do cover it up. I am going to trust on and bank in them covering up that there has been a progression and they just didn't want to let the cat out of the bag. And also, Old Dominion was real not good last year. And finally, in that spot, the University of Texas, 32.5-point favorites over Colorado State.
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's easy. I actually agree. I think Quinn Ewers is going to be good. Notre Dame taking on A&M. Notre Dame plus 3. The Ags favored by a field goal, Lonzo. Let's pick this one straight up.
Yeah, I'm going to go Notre Dame wins this
game. I'm going to go Notre Dame wins this one, too. I don't trust the Aggies. I do trust Mike Elko, but I think it's going to take a year or two to get it in shape. Give me the Irish on the road. The Oregon Ducks, great one. The Oregon Ducks are favored by, where'd my spread go? Let me go find it. Hang on just a second.
Bunch. A whole lot.
The Oregon Ducks are favored in this one, not on the board right now, so let's not pick that one. But Oregon covers up no matter what the number is because I trust Dan Lanning quite a bit. The Michigan Wolverines in game number one, great one, are favored by 21 over the Fresno State Bulldogs.
I don't want to, but I'm gonna go with, yeah, they cover.
I'm not touching this game. Don't want nothing to do because I have no damn idea what Michigan is. No idea. Can't be stealing signs. Don't have Blake Corum. Don't have J.J. McCarthy. I don't know. I don't want this game.
Hey, just because you got caught cheating doesn't mean you won't try it again.
That's also true. Connor Stallions ain't there, though. Who's going to run it? I don't know. Gun to head, I'll say Michigan covers up this game. And then finally, Alabama is taking on Western Kentucky in this one. The Crimson Tide are, as I scroll through, to find my line, not on the board anymore. The last I saw, I want to say they were like 35.5-point favorites. Y'all, Alabama's going to show y'all what Rob Brown's been telling y'all all season. The Tide will roll. They're winning this game by 100.
I would just say I'm the only person in this room who's been to Western Carolina's campus.
Well, they were playing Western Kentucky, so.
Yeah, I've been there too.
Oh, okay.
Western Kentucky, it was an accident, and we were like on campus going, where are we? And it's actually on a hill. And so, yeah, it was interesting.
I had there was a guy that played basketball in
just like
school.
Earlier when I couldn't say North Dakota and I started to say North Carolina. It's because those are things that you say so often that you, yeah, anyway.
There was a kid I played basketball with, Mike Doe, 7'2". You can't teach that. And Rob Brown's job at 6'3" was to go out there and just get into battles with a 7'2" Michael Doe, who went to Western Kentucky, lasted 3 games, and then quit to become a fashion designer. And I wasn't even mad at him because he's one of the nicest human beings I've ever met in my life. But damn, Mike, I could have used about a foot of that height, bud.
Is he still in the design game? Is he any good?
Yep. I mean, I don't know what he's doing. I know he's still designing. I don't know if he's like got a line or anything, but yeah, 7'2", hated basketball.
It would seem like you would have an in on that. I mean, you know, unless he really hated you.
No, he didn't. He loved me. Mike Doe was my guy. Loved Mike Doe. But dog, like, you hate basketball? You're 7'2". You hate basketball for real, for real? For real, dog?
I played with a guy in college football who was 7'2" and like 300 pounds,
yep,
and played offensive line and was there because his parents made him because he just didn't want to play.
All right. We got to run to a break. When we come back, final hour of the show, and there are some other stories that aren't college football that we have to get to. Coming up in the next hour of the show, we'll talk about the Braves series against the Phillies. They drop game one. Can they get it back tonight at 6:40 when they play game two? And how about Dak just openly taking a shot at Jerry Jones yesterday? You think I'm not going to talk about that while the demise of the Cowboys is near? You're damn right I am after Lonzo reads this sports flash.
The Atlanta Braves squandered a 4-0 lead in the sixth inning to drop the first of a four-game set on the road at Philadelphia with a 5-4 loss to the Phillies. Atlanta collected 7 hits, including a pair of Matt Olson home runs, but struck out 13 times in the loss. Philadelphia's divisional lead grows to 6 games, while Atlanta's lead over New York for the final wild card spot stays at 3 games. San Francisco 49ers and wide receiver Brandon Ayuk have reached a contract agreement that will keep Ayuk in the Bay Area for 4 more years on a deal worth $120 million. ESPN reported the deal is the same one the 49ers initially offered Ayuk back in mid-August. Tune in tomorrow, 5:30, as the Furman Paladins get their college football season started as they take on the Ole Miss Rebels. It's Furman versus Ole Miss right here on your home for Paladins football. It's us. It is The Fan, Upstate.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.